Hello and welcome. Welcome to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of The Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business, and my name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate this business, and this is where we earn our money to support our family and to support this ministry, and we are asking to support us by patronizing. Coming by the Wash and Word and letting us work to earn our money, and that's how you can support this ministry. We never want to peddle the Word of God. We want to settle the Word of God, and so we give these Bible teaching sermons out for free. You can go to washandword.com and download them or listen to them from our website. You can go to WMCH 1260 AM Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM to hear verse by verse Bible teaching. And you can come by the Wash and Word. We're located in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11, Church Hill. And we play these messages on a loop on 107.1 FM. So you can just pull into the parking lot, turn on your radio to 107.1 FM, and you can hear these messages. We do a verse-by-verse format because we believe verse-by-verse is the most effective way to properly equip the saints for what this world has to offer. Now, we are going to pick up where we left off. That's the very definition of a verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And we're looking at Jesus has now, in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, he has just showed up at Mary and Martha's house. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days now. And there were three things we were going to look at in this section of Scripture. One was Martha's faith, which we looked at in our last teaching. Today we're going to look at Mary's grief, and time permitting, the third thing is Lazarus's life. And so I encourage you to listen to last message that we preached. It was verses 17 through 28 in chapter 11. It talked all about Martha's faith and her faith in action. But now we're going to take a look at Mary's grief, the second part of this section here in the chapter 11. And so for Mary's grief, let's get back to the word, verse 28. And we're going to read up to verse 37. 28 says, "After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. 'The teacher is here,' she said, 'and is asking for you.' When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?'" All right, let's stop right there. In verse 20, we read that last week, but in verse 20 it says, "When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home." Now Mary, even though she knew Jesus was coming, she didn't run out like Martha did with putting that faith and action into work. No, but she deliberately stayed home. Why do you think that might be? Is it because she was mad? Was she just mourning and confused? Was she thinking maybe it's pure futility? He's dead already? Whatever it was that kept her in the house in verse 20, something got her up now. And in verse 28, and we left off in our last teaching talking about this, where Martha says, "The master is here and he is asking for you." Listen, when Jesus calls you by name, he wants you to go where he is. Okay? There are times where there is a general will of God, and there are times when there is a personal will of God for your life. And there are times where there are just general statements. You know, you might find them in the Bible or hear them in a sermon. And then there are times where there are personal statements that are just for you. And when Jesus calls you by name, he wants you to go where he is. And listen, when God calls you, it's always a personal thing, because we're in a personal relationship with God himself through Christ. And we are being personally called to him every day. The problem is, we are too often think we're being called to ourselves. We self-serve. We seek out the things that we feel are good for us. And sometimes we get confused between God's call and God's will and our call and our own will. We have trouble sometimes deciphering, is it me or is that God? But listen, the call of God is always an expression of God's nature and God's will. It'll line up with what we know to be God's nature through his word and what we know to be God's will also through his word. The call of God is the expression of God's nature, not ours. The call of God is not a reflection of my nature or my personal desires and my temperament. They are not even in the talking. They're not even in consideration. When we go to where God is, or we go to do the thing God is calling us to do, when we stand for truth in a society that doesn't want to hear it anymore, God can build on that. You remember Peter's confession? You know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to him? I'm going to build my church based on that confession. And just last week, or in our last message, we talked about Martha's confession. And Jesus is about to build a miracle based on that confession. And so when we respond to the call, the personal call, God wants to build something in response to our response. Does that make sense? I hope so, because I don't want to explain it again. But why Mary? Well, God longs to have his people share in the mighty things that he does. I mean, this is what God wants to do. He wants to share in his glory. He wants to share the great things that he does in this earth. And he wants us to be involved in them. That's why he calls us. That's why he gives us personal testimonies. That's why he gives us personal spiritual gifts. And that's why he gives us personal callings and wills for our life. He longs to share his goodness and his love and his blessings and his acts of mercy and his will. To share the mighty things that he does to you and with you on a personal level, so that you can join him on a worldwide level. He calls you on a personal level to join him on a global level. And so she runs out to him and she says the same thing. Why, you know, where were you if you'd come? And I can almost hear Jesus saying, here we go again. But the only difference between Martha and Mary is tears. You see, she's crying. And the obvious lesson here is that when a woman cries, men give them what they want. I mean, isn't that what the Bible... Okay, that's not what the Bible's saying here. But wow, is that a good lesson for men out there? Okay, getting back to the seriousness of this whole thing here. During the scriptures we just read, there we see the shortest Bible verse in the entire Bible. And everyone knows what that is. It's verse 35, and it says, Jesus wept. But there are so many reasons for why Jesus wept. Many people have been given a lot of different reasons. Some say because Lazarus has died. Some say, you know, mourning, people mourn with each other. Maybe that was it. Some might say, you know, Jesus was too sentimental. Unbelief and lack of faith is why others were crying. You know, whatever the reason. Before we actually get to that, consider this. Mary, rather, if Mary had gone out with Martha, if she went when Martha went, she would have already knew at this point that he would live. You remember when Martha went out there ahead of Mary? And Martha was already comforted. She already had a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus already explained it to her and you know, comforted her. Why? Why? Because she went to Jesus. She went there first thing. And listen, priority number one, when trial or tragedy or turmoil strike, is run to Jesus. That is your first priority, or darn well should be. When trial and tragedy and turmoil strike, run to Jesus. And the quicker we turn to Jesus, the quicker we can gain the peace and the understanding and the comforting. And when you get there, when you get to Jesus, don't be like a parent to a child who was due home at 11 and comes home at 1 and say, "Where were you? Why didn't you call? Is that wine on your breath? Were you taking communion again?" The point is, don't go there and question him. Go there and do what Mary did. She fell at his feet in verse 2. When Mary reached the place where he was, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." She just dropped to her feet and she wept. And whatever tragedy you encounter, your presence before a holy and perfect Savior must remain respectful and fearful and reverent. We don't have the right to go there and be accusing and angry. Do we do that sometimes? Yes. Does God understand and forgive us? Yes. But do we have the right? No. Yes, we run to Jesus, but when we get there, we sit down, or we kneel down, or better yet, we fall down. Hebrews 12:29 says, "For God is a consuming fire." And do you want to, if you want to know that's true or not, just ask Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Just ask Aaron's son Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10 when they offered up a strange fire, or in 1 Samuel 6 when they tried to steady the ark and touched it. Just ask anyone who's tested God to find out if he is a all-consuming fire deserving of our complete respect and reverence and fear. We need to be reminded of the power and the wrath of God sometimes, don't we? Yeah, God is compassionate and loving and wants to give you your best life now and all those wonderful, beautiful things we love to hear. He is all of those things, but he's more. He is a God of wrath and of power, and he is deserving of our respect and our reverence. And yeah, I know, life hits hard sometimes. Life is unfair. My wife and I are going through a period right now that it's just, we don't understand. And sometimes we feel like we just can't catch a break. But God is always to be approached like Mary did. And that is with respect. Laying at his feet. Listening to his teachings. And now, respect, awe, and reverence for God are based on his character, not on your present circumstances. I'm going to say that again. Listen to me. Respect, awe, and reverence for God are based on his character, not on your present circumstances. And Mary fell prostrate, and she cried, and the Jews cried, and Jesus cried, and we can speculate all day as to why, but three facts remain. Death grips people with fear. Fear creates confusion, and confusion is of the devil. And Jesus was angry and crying over the state of mankind without a Savior. And that death is the end for most people. That is cause for tears right there. Because let me tell you something. When you have your Savior, we can cry out, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And let me end by telling you this. God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. So rest at the feet of the Savior. Give him the respect and the awe and the reverence he deserves. And by golly, get before him as often as you can. Have a blessed day.